I've been given a topic that I consider the current desire of God in our time. Praise the Lord. When I saw this, I marveled because it came at a time when God was already talking to me about this. The bond servant of Christ. The bond servant of Christ. So I'm going to approach it very slowly and like a teaching. I want us to read Philippians chapter 2 from 5 to 11. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 11. You must have the same attitude, the same mindset, the same disposition that Jesus Christ had. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us the kind of mindset we should have as Christians. The next verse. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Remember, we are coming from the mindset that God wants us to have. Okay? He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. The word slave there is from the Greek word doulos. And it's another word for a bond servant. Praise the Lord. So he took the position of a slave and was born as a human being. Next verse. When he appeared in human form and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself. Meaning that that position he took as a man, this was the requirement, humbling yourself and being obedient unto death. Praise the Lord. So he took upon himself. You see, the position of a bond servant is something you take upon yourself. He took upon himself the position of a bond servant. So when you look at the life of Christ, what Christ came to show us before his death on the cross was the pattern of a bond servant. Praise the Lord. Because looking at it, Jesus could have just matured at the age of 30 and died on the cross. Did he have to live the 3 years, 3.5 years? Praise the Lord. So those 3.5 years was to demonstrate to us the kind of life somebody who finds himself in the fashion of a man should live. I don't know if you are following. He came to show us the lifestyle of a bond servant. Amen. And I want to tell you that that is the highest position you can aspire to. Being a bond servant of Christ. Praise the Lord. God is not looking for powerful men. God is not looking for powerful men. He's looking for men that can empty themselves. God is not looking for strong men. He's looking for bond servants. A bond servant is a servant that is owned by the master. Praise the Lord. A servant that is owned by the master. You are not just a servant, but your master owns you and owns everything you have. Praise the Lord. You know that everything a slave owns belongs to the master. If a slave is a millionaire, it all belongs to the master. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody once told us a story about a chief in Benin who was so proud that he had so many servants and so much wealth. And so he told the Oba of Benin that it's time for every chief to come and show what he has. Praise the Lord. So the first chief came, showed the things he had, maybe just a few servants. He now came and showed an array of servants. And so he was so proud. And the Oba of Benin told him, okay, are you finished? He said, yes. The Oba of Benin now told him, I own you. Praise the Lord. That means all his paraphernalia, everything he owned, belonged. Praise the Lord. So a bond servant is somebody who is owned by his master. And so this mindset should be in us. That is what the scripture is saying. This mindset should be in us. The mindset of a bond servant. That you and everything you own belongs to your master. Praise the Lord. And Jesus came to demonstrate the lifestyle of a bond servant. And that started from his baptism. When Jesus was baptized, what happened? The Spirit of God did what? Descended on him like a dove. And that Spirit of God affirmed that he was the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. So I want to show us the comparison, the life of Christ and our lives, to show us that God actually came in the form of Christ to pattern the lifestyle for us, so that when he redeems us, we have a forerunner we should follow. Are we following? Praise the Lord. Now, what was the first thing the Spirit of God did with Christ? What was the first thing? Was it signs and wonders? Who can tell me the first thing the Spirit of God did? Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. Let's put it on the screen. Yes, somebody said something. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he led him straight away to the wilderness to be tempted of the Spirit of God. The main reason he comes on you is to lead you. Eh? It's not to show you, it's not to make you feel good. It's not to make me feel good. The Holy Spirit's primary desire, purpose, is to lead us. He's a leading spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there's one feeling you have sometimes when you feel so powerful. Isn't it? That's not why he came. He didn't come so that when you wave your hand, people will fall. The main reason is to lead us. Praise the Lord. And so if you have the Spirit of God in you and you are not taking direction from him, you are getting it wrong. Because the primary purpose why the Spirit of God came is to lead us into all truth. Praise the Lord. The power you are endued with is a byproduct, isn't it? Because the scripture says that you shall receive power, what? After that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the power you receive is a product of the leading of the Holy Spirit in you. And that is why after Jesus came out from the wilderness, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost and his fame spread abroad. Praise the Lord. So he's there to lead us. And the first thing, I'm surprised he led him to be tempted. Are you not wondering? He led him to be tempted of the devil. And the temptations were in the matters of the flesh. Praise the Lord. You know what I found out? Because I was asking God why. And that's because that was where Adam fell. The first Adam failed there. In the spirit, you don't jump classes. How many of you know you don't jump classes? There's nothing that this guy is so good. He will go from nursery 3 to primary 3. It's nothing happening in the spirit. If you fail, you will repeat. Praise the Lord. And that is why it is dangerous to walk in the flesh as a Christian. Because you say that God forgives me. Yes, he will forgive you. You come back, he forgives you. But you don't make progress. Because you see that point, you must cross it. So he brought Jesus back to where Adam fell. And Jesus, being the second Adam, had to correct something. Praise the Lord. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said you should be born again? It means the first time they're not born you well. Ha! Have you heard that before? You know, they're not born you well. That is what it means. You know why? Because Adam ate the fruit on your behalf. And you were born into his error. So they're not born you well. Praise the Lord. Because we were born into error. We were born into the fallen state. So Jesus now came and said, you must be born again. So Jesus went back to that point where Adam fell. That same point where Adam fell. And it was a test for the flesh. Praise the Lord. It was a test for the flesh. And that is because in every man, there are two nations in every man. Genesis chapter 25. Rebecca was pregnant, isn't it? She was pregnant. Let me look for the particular scripture. 25 verse 22 to 28. You can put it on the screen. Genesis chapter 25. 22 to 28. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Next verse. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Can you tell your neighbor, two nations are in your womb? See the further description. Two manner of people. Two kinds of people are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one shall be stronger than the other. For every one of us is either the flesh or the spirit. And both of them are at loggerheads, isn't it? Two manner of people. There are two possibilities from you. There are two possibilities from me. One is after the flesh. The other is after the spirit. There are two different kinds of people. One is Esau. One is Jacob. Esau represents the flesh. Jacob after the spirit. Two kinds of people. Two kinds of people. And there is something that God told Rebecca here. He says the elder shall serve. He said, and people shall be, one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. You know, before now, I used to think that this is probably a prophecy, that God was trying to tell her that in future, the elder one will serve the younger one. But you know, thinking about it properly, I think it was probably an instruction. Praise the Lord. It was probably what? An instruction. That the elder, the old man, must be subject to the new man. Two kinds of people. But you must make sure, Rebecca. And you and I are Rebecca here. Two kinds of people in you. But you must make sure that the old man is subject to the new man. And I believe that was why Rebecca did what she did. Because she understood from the beginning that the elder must serve the younger. That the old man must be subject. From these two men, these two kinds of people, how many of you know that man is meant to be governed? Praise the Lord. Man is meant to be governed. In the Garden of Eden, man declared independence from God. He ate the fruit, isn't it? The devil told him, he said, is it true that he said, if you eat of this, if we eat of it, that we know the difference between good and evil? He said, yes. You will be like God and you will know the difference between good and evil. You know what that means? It meant that before then, they depended on God to know what was right to do. Isn't it? But now they wanted by themselves to decide what was right to do. So that was independence. So being able to live without God, being able to take decisions without God. And that is the nature of the old man. You do things just because you can do them, not whether you should do them. There's a difference between I can do them and I should do. As a bond servant, you don't do things because you have the capacity. You do things because you have clearance. You do things because you have what? Clearance. Jesus had fasted already, and he was hungry. Was it wrong to eat? Answer me now. But what did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In other words, he was saying that my appetite is not enough basis to take my decision. My feeling is not enough basis to take a decision. There must be a proceeding word from God. And if you look at the scriptures, John chapter 5, verse 30, even verse 19, Jesus was saying that. He said, I can do nothing of myself. I can only do things I hear my Father say. I can only do things I see my Father do. Praise the Lord. So two kinds of people. And from these two kinds of people, two kingdoms are at war. Hallelujah. Are we following? Because man must be governed. Man must be governed by a spirit. Praise the Lord. There is a spirit at work in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit at work in the children of obedience. That's the spirit of God. So there must be a government over a man. Praise the Lord. And the devil governs you through your flesh, while God governs you through his spirit. And a bond servant must deny the government of the enemy and subject himself to the government of God. These are the last days. From the testimonies we have seen, that it does not take God anything to give you wealth. It does not take God anything. It does not take God anything. The things that the children of the world run after, they are byproducts for us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. And these are the things the children of the world seek after. So it's an issue of who runs the government over your life and my life. Who runs my government? A life after the flesh is governed by the enemy. And that was why when Satan came, he wanted to come in through the flesh. And he got Eve and Adam. And so the first Adam fell. And every one of us born to the first Adam began to walk after the flesh. The devil reigned supreme. Hallelujah. The devil began to run the show in the lives of men. Because the enemy walks through the flesh. But the second Adam arrived. And when he came, the Spirit of God led him straight away to that same class. Hallelujah. And he made a better choice. Amen. He made a better choice. He told the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And so from all of us here, you are aligning behind either the old Adam or the second Adam. Hallelujah. We are all standing in a line behind either the first Adam or the second Adam. All those who walk according to the flesh are lined up behind the first Adam. And what is open to you are the possibilities in the life of the first Adam. Hallelujah. What is open to any man who walks after the flesh are the possibilities that are open to the first Adam. And the Bible says that if we live according to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But if through the flesh we mortify the deeds, if through the spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. So there are two choices. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the bond servant is the one that chooses to be owned by God. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Question mark. That's an exclamation. You know what that means? It means, are you serious that you don't know? Let me use contemporary English. Is something wrong with you? Praise the Lord. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know, this topic is so important because sometimes it begins to look like Christianity is weak. It begins to look that way. And that is because there are so many professing Christians, but there are very few bond servants. There are very few. Very few. Many people on the pulpit are not even born again. Many people naming the name of the Lord are not even born again. The Bible says that submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. It looks as if the enemy is having the upper hand because many of us are not submitting to the Lord. He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Question mark. Can you ask your neighbor, are you your own? You are not your own. I'm not talking about the shoe you are wearing. Because you can borrow somebody's shoe. It's understandable. But this is serious, that even you are not your own. I am not my own. Then the next verse, verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. Who can tell me the price? How much do you cost? The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am expensive. I'm not cheap. I'm not cheap. So cheap things should not hang around me. Sin is cheap. The flesh is cheap. Walking in the flesh is cheap. How can me, bought so expensive, spend my life running after material things? Jesus said, he says, if you are unfaithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit true riches to you? There are true riches. There are true what? Riches. So these things we see with our eyes, they are temporary. Hallelujah. They are temporary. How many of you have desired something so much, and when you finally got it, you began to ask yourself, is this what I was killing myself for? Has it happened to you before? You know, when I was a youth copper, there was one car I saw in a mechanic workshop. Renault. You know Renault? I liked the shape of that car. I was crazy about that car. In a mechanic workshop. You know, when a car passed in a mechanic workshop for several months, the car is a problem. But all my ambition was to get that car. I sought the car so much. And when I couldn't get it, I felt so bad. Praise the Lord. Thank God I didn't get it, because it would have ruined my life. Praise the Lord. And then I bought a 505 in those days, 1997 or 8. I was on top of the world. Jesus. When I entered this car, Oh my God. I bought it at Owerri. I was going back to Port Harcourt. I balanced. I couldn't drive then, so my elder brother drove. I balanced in front with my seatbelt. Praise the Lord. I was ready to wave at anybody. Praise the Lord. And then when I got to Port Harcourt, I was doing my youth service then at Eleme. When I got to Port Harcourt, I could move the car small. I could drive a little. I entered the car. The day I was going to my place of primary assignment, you can imagine how I drove. When I parked, I closed the car. I stood afar and looked at it very well. Praise the Lord. There was a day I saw 505. And I asked myself, is...
Oh my God.
Is this the first day I got this car? That night I didn't sleep. I came out by 4 a.m. to... to wash the car. 4 a.m. Ask me what I was doing. The day I saw this, I said, is this the thing I was killing myself for? Is this the thing I was killing myself for? There's one story building I saw in my village. I was telling my son so many years ago. I mean, that story building stood out. It was the top of the village. Hallelujah. When you saw that house, I mean, you say, these people are on top of the world. But today, I can't sleep in that house. I began to ask myself, what is wrong with these people? How can they build a house like this? That's material things for you. These things we run after. The Bible calls them unrighteous mammon. They are nothing. They are nothing. True riches are not seen. Hallelujah. And they belong to the bond servants. You know, the Bible says our God is a rewarder. That is his title. You know what that means? You cannot do something for him without him rewarding you. It is abnormal. He is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. God wants to know whether you are seeking after him or seeking after his hands. If you have a friend, you're about to get married, and you know that this person loves you because of your money, if you know, will you marry the person? You will marry. If I know you are coming after me because of what I have, not because you love me, I will think twice. But if I know that it is me that you really love, that money that I have, I can lavish it on you. And that is what God is saying. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God needs to know that you love him beyond anything else. Then he said, I will give you the nations for an inheritance. You know what it means to give you the nations? Praise the Lord. I once had a dream. I will not say it clearly, but I once had a dream. And God showed me a large expanse. And in that dream, it was like it belonged to me. Praise the Lord. So when I woke up, I was being humble. I said, no, I don't think this dream is telling me that this whole thing belongs to me. I think it's just trying to show me the area I should cover. But later I was reprimanded in my spirit. Who told you that God cannot give you all this? God can give you nations. God can give you the amount of wealth that you cannot even imagine. But God is waiting to see whether you have the capacity to carry it. Can I ask you a question? You know that Jesus told them, Peter, isn't it? After they fished all night and caught nothing, Jesus told them, cast your nets on the right side. And they did, and they caught a lot of fish. What did they do? They left everything and did what? And followed him. Let me ask you. If Jesus knew that if he told them to cast the net and catch the fish, that when they catch all that fish, they will take the fish to the market and abandon him. Do you think he would have showed them where to cast their nets? Do you understand what you are saying? But because Jesus knew, because you know he had already called them, isn't it? Because Jesus knew that in spite of the great catch, they will still leave everything and follow him. He gave it to them. So when they dropped it, he took care of their family and their children, isn't it? He took care of their friends. But for them, they pursued after God. And that is what God wants to do with wealth. He wants to give you wealth so that you will be comfortable and solve problems, but that your eyes must remain on him. And if he knows that that wealth will take your eyes off him, he will not give it to you. So the problem is not whether your father and my father is willing. It's not whether he's able. It's whether we are ready. God is looking for bond servants. When you have the understanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, that you are not your own, that you've been bought with a price, and so whatever you have belongs to him. When you come with that understanding, I tell you, the sky is not even a limit for you. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give you extraordinary understanding. That he will enlighten your eyes so that you understand what I'm trying to say. Because what I'm communicating is not in words. It's in spirit. I pray that God will impart in you a great understanding that will cause you to leave everything and focus on him. Because the things that men run after are not worth it. They are not worth it. Praise the Lord. When I was in the university first year, I had two trousers and one pair of shoes, and I used it for almost 2 years. That time, that my shoe was so precious. Praise the Lord. I considered it one of my greatest treasures. It was blue and white. I still remember the color. And when I cleaned it and I stepped out, I felt so good. Praise the Lord. That was my level at that time. Amen. Now, God did not give me so many shoes then. Because if he gave me, I would have been in Delta Park most of the time. Who was in uniform? You will not understand. Pastor Dan will understand. Pastor Oza will understand. Delta Park was a female hostel. Praise the Lord. If he empowered me with those fine shoes, the shoes I have now, which most of my shoes, I don't even buy them. People dash me. Praise the Lord. But if I had all those shoes then, I would have been in Delta Park most of the time. Praise the Lord. And I would have missed my way. So is it that God could not give me shoes? No. But I was not ready. I did not have the capacity. Now I have the capacity. He has given me so many shoes, I don't know what to do with it. I have so many, but I keep wearing one. And my wife tells me that I when I start wearing something, I want to kill it first. Praise the Lord. Because now these shoes don't mean much. So it cannot take me away from God. So he's ready to flood me with different colors. God is ready to flood. You don't know this, your father. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on the thousand hills, they belong to him. Your father is the richest that can ever be. He is. But he's just waiting to make sure we have capacity. And the fastest way to grow capacity is to understand that you are a bond servant. In this kingdom, we don't own things. We only steward things. Your name is not attached to anything in this kingdom. Look at the parable of the when the master was leaving and gave talents to the servants. Isn't it? Go and read that scripture again. You find out that when the master came, he asked them, "What did you do with my money?" Even though he gave them, it wasn't their own. Praise the Lord. So in this kingdom, God gives you things, but they don't belong to you. They don't belong to me. So there is no ownership. Eh? There is no ownership in the kingdom of God. It's only stewardship. Because everything you have, you will give account. Because it's not your own. Praise the Lord. Our main scripture, Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5. Let this mindset, which was in Christ Jesus, be in you. Be in me. Who, in spite of his estate, he chose to be a bond servant. That is the mindset. So that no matter who you are, no matter what I am, no matter what we have achieved, we must make that choice to be a bond servant. And a bond servant is a man that denies the flesh and follows after the spirit. Praise the Lord. A bond servant does not do things because he can do them. He does not do things because he has the capacity to do them. He only does things because he gets clearance from his master. You can buy a car because you have the money, but in this kingdom, you need permission from your master. You may be hungry, your body tells you to eat, but in this kingdom, you need clearance. You may wake up in the morning and the master says, today fast. Praise the Lord. You do what? You fast. That is where we are, bond servants. And that is the highest office to aspire to. Hallelujah. That is the highest office to aspire to. Be so spiritual that you become so lowly. Be so powerful that you become so lowly. Praise the Lord. A lot of us have had this misconception about being spirit-filled in the body of Christ. Now we think that what gives you the pass mark as being spirit-filled is because you can wave your hands and people fall. That's not true. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. That he did what? Went about touching people and they fall in. He went about doing what? Doing good. Praise the Lord. If you are so anointed, it will show in your sacrifice. Anointing brings sacrifice. So if I see how much you can sacrifice, I know how much you are anointed. Praise the Lord. That is true anointing, because it tends to glorify the master. There's a song I love so much. I think my time is almost up. There's a song I love so much. Forgive me if I jump from one key to another. Don't. Pastor Dan says we should judge prophecy. Don't judge. Praise the Lord. How many of you know this song? Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. You know this song? All right, please sing it for me so that they don't laugh at me. All right, so. Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. Take the stage. Have your way.
Take the stage, Lord, and have your way. I'm but a vessel and nothing more. When you're done, leave me alone. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified.
Praise the Lord. Just give me a minute. How many of you got the wordings of that song? Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. What's the next line there? I'm just a vessel, nothing more. And when you are done, take all the glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. That's a powerful song. That's a powerful song. That's a powerful song. Can we be on our feet and sing that song together?
The age, Lord, and have your way. I'm just. just a vessel and nothing more. When you're done, please take your glory. Satisfied just to see you glorified.
Talk to God personally. Declare your allegiance to Him. Time to queue up behind the second ladder. Queue up behind the second ladder. Make a choice.
Just to see you glorified.
Make a choice this evening. Is it Esau or Jacob? Is it the flesh or the spirit? Two kinds of people, two possibilities, two nations can emerge from you and me. Every one of us must make that choice. Lord, take the stage in my life. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Something has to give way. Something has to give way. Something has to give way. There can only be one master. There can only be one God. Lord, have your way. 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 I'm done having my way. Lord, have your way. Have your way in me. Be my master. Be my Lord. Be my King. Have your way. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I've done it my own way. It has not taken me anywhere. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Be glorified in my life. Be glorified in my life. Lord, be glorified in my life. Be lifted up in my life. I must decrease and you must increase, Lord. Thank you. You have been asking God, when, Lord? When, Lord? I have the answer. He has been waiting for you to give him the leadership. He has been waiting for you to give it up. He has been waiting for you to say, Lord, have your way in my life. God is not threatened by your blessing. God is not threatened by your lifting. For he has come to bring many sons to glory. Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we want to tell you we love you. We want to tell you we honor you. Lord, as a body this evening, Lord, we come to you. Have your way. Take the stage in our lives. Have your way. And when you are done, please take all the glory. 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 We are satisfied to see you glorified. We are satisfied to see you lifted. That your name is exalted above every other name, we are satisfied. That is our heart desire. To see you lifted. To see you glorified. To see you celebrated, Lord. That is our desire. For you are our master, you are our king, you are our Lord. We are satisfied to see you increase. Thank you, Jesus. Receive all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to shout a big hallelujah. And I want to tell you a secret. If what you have done is sincere, you will be amazed at what God will do with you. Because this God, I know him. I have not been able to raise the dead. One day I will raise the dead by God's grace. But you see, God taking a man from nothing to something. I'm a living example. And there is nothing you will tell me that will convince me otherwise. God can take you from nothing and lift you up. God is not threatened. God is not broke. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen.